Welcome into Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. I'm Dr. Tim Clinton.
And I'm Dr. Zach Clinton, and together we're your hosts. Thank you for joining us.
If you enjoyed today's program and you feel called to help us equip the church to provide mental health care and to help those in need, visit our foundation at aaccfoundation.org. That's aaccfoundation.org. Hey, there you're going to find a little bit more about the impact we're having in local communities to strengthen families and individuals. We're on a mission to help equip people everywhere to improve their relationship with God and the ones they love.
We'd love for you to be a part of our family. Let's bring a message of hope and encouragement to today's generations. Your gift ensures that this program and your station remain on the air. And on today's program, my dad, Dr. Tim Clinton, will be joined by a great guest. So let's get started.
Hey, welcome back to Life, Love, Faith, and Family. Over the next couple of days, we're going to share a very special conversation from a few years back with my longtime friend and colleague, Dr. James Dobson. As we mark the first anniversary of his passing this week, we remember his extraordinary legacy and commitment to strengthening and preserving the family. Dr. Dobson touched the lives of millions through the Family Talk broadcast, which I had the honor of co-hosting for many years, and also through his many influential books and through personal investment he made in people wherever he went. Over the years, I've heard countless stories from people whose lives and families were impacted by his ministry. This conversation with Dr. Dobson was originally recorded about a decade ago, and while it takes us back to those years, the principles we discuss about child development, parenting, and family relationships are just as relevant today as they were then. Dr. Dobson devoted much of his life to helping parents better understand their children, especially in those difficult moments when connection doesn't come easily. And that's the heart of our conversation today and tomorrow. How do you love, understand, and connect with a child who requires a little extra effort? I believe the wisdom and insight in this conversation between counselors is going to encourage you and strengthen your family right where you are. Here's part one of my conversation with my dear friend, Dr. James Dobson.
You're the president of the American Association of Christian Counselors, located right near Liberty University, in fact, in Lynchburg, Virginia. You have been in that role for a long time. I understand that you have 50,000 members. Could that be accurate?
Dr. Dobson, we have about 50,000 active members, people who have come together. It's an amazing phenomenon where God has just called together these men and women who love the Lord and who have given their life to helping other people and rallied them together, wanting to champion understanding and wisdom when it comes to people's problems and issues, to have dialogue, to bring that message to the church, but who are open, I mean open, about anchoring their life in Christ. They're unashamed about saying that spiritually we have got to root ourselves in Him. There is no hope apart from Him.
And you bring a large number of those counselors together every year in Nashville.
We go to the Opryland Hotel and host a world conference there that's just—
And you take over that place. That's one of the largest hotels in the world, isn't it?
I think we've sold it out something like 5, 6, 7— We're going on our seventh time in a row. Nearly 7,000 counselors and pastors, all 50 states, 40 foreign countries, come together to have that conversation about, hey, what's happening in the lives of people and how does God fit into the equation? Dr. Dobson, it's fun.
Well, you invited me there to speak and gave me an award not too long ago. There were 7,000 people there that day. And it was such a pleasure to be with them.
That was a joyous moment for me, Dr. Dobson, having the privilege of bringing you out. That those 7,000 people who were seated in that audience, I know they showed their deep love and appreciation for the influence you've had in their life. And so it's a joy to be here to talk about life and the issues that we face and celebrate God.
Well, you've become a brother to me. Let me read some of your other credentials because they're relevant to what we're going to talk about today. You're the executive director of the Center for Counselor Education and Family Studies at Liberty University. You oversee the James C. Dobson Center for Child Development, Marriage, and Family. And you're a full professor at Liberty. You're married to Julie. How long have you been married?
36 years, Dr. Dobson, today.
That's long enough to know, isn't it? You live by what you preach.
She's the boss. I know that.
And you have two children, one son, one daughter. Your daughter named Megan. She's married to Ben. And you have a son who is a superstar pitcher for the Liberty baseball team. You've been in California, in fact, watching him play, haven't you?
I have been. We've been enjoying ourselves, and he's been playing summer ball in the Southern California Collegiate Baseball League.
Yeah.
And it's been what an amazing summer.
Well, there must be 500 topics that we could talk about here because we've walked the same path and our training is similar. Let's discuss something that we thought might be a good place to start. Having to do, and this was at your suggestion, having to do with the hard to get along with kid. You know, some children are just difficult to manage. Describe that child from your perspective.
Years ago, Dr. Gary Sipsey, a colleague of mine, and I worked on a book called Loving Your Child Too Much. Of course, you can't love your child too much, but there was this element of people feeling like they need to overcompensate with their children and more. But a part of that book was a chapter we wrote on extra effort kids. Kids that, you're right, there's like this disconnect between parent and child possibly. Maybe it's a personality difference, maybe a temperament difference, something along those lines where just different than I am. And if you're a parent and you've got a son or daughter that you like the outdoors, they like the indoors. You enjoy math, they like the arts or whatever. And that emotional bond or connectedness isn't there. That can be difficult. And a lot of parents listening right now, they'll say, yeah, I've got two children that I am very much alike, and I've got one or two children that I'm not alike.
And they're all of equal worth. And I want to say, having lived a little longer than you have, that the difficult child might turn out to be the superstar when they're grown. You know, the very contentious, strong-willed child often really comes into line. I want to encourage the parents who are looking at that youngster and saying, my goodness, he's challenging me. He is difficult for me to manage, and every day is a struggle. We want to encourage those people, don't we?
I remember Julie was away from home one night, and Zach, who you had referenced earlier, was little guy. And she said, Tim, are you watching Zach close? And I said, oh, yes, I've got everything under control at home. Honey, just enjoy yourself. And about that moment, I looked into the living room, and there's this boy in there, and he had what was called a juicy juice back in that day, a blue one. And he had carefully positioned it on his body and was squeezing it, and it was squirting juicy juice all over the room.
How old was he?
I've got to get out of here. But I remember Zach growing up. There were times when—
How old was he when he did
Zach,
that?
He was just a toddler. He was a young guy.
Yeah.
But he had some energy to him that was very rare. He didn't like peas. It didn't matter what you were going to do. He was not eating those peas. And there were certain things where he'd bow his neck and he had fire to him. And you're right, Dr. Dobson. It isn't just maybe that there are different temperaments or different personalities. Children may also not only just be strong-willed, but maybe defiant, maybe irritable, maybe given to a lot of negativity or something. And it's, how do I parent well those children?
I had a parent wrote me a letter. I hadn't thought about it till this minute. It was many years ago. This mom who couldn't get her little boy to eat peas, and she was determined that he was going to do it. And she threatened him. She did all kind of things. And then she eventually got in his face and said, you will eat these peas. And she put them on a spoon, and he put them in his mouth, and he didn't say anything. And he went to bed. And the next morning, she found a little pile of peas in the bed where he'd crawl down there and spit them out. I mean, the strength of the will in some children is unbelievable.
And if you get into a war with that child, I think we'd agree that you've got to step back and remind yourself, because if you get lost in that battle, you're going to wind up disciplining all the time.
Listen, I have recommended for years that you don't take a child on over food because he can beat you there. I mean, he really can take the measure of you. We just saw an example of it. I was one of those kids. I hated eggs. From the time I was 4 years old, I thought that through and I said, something weird about this.
Not doing it.
And I'm not doing it. It was a plague of my life, Tim. I'm telling you, I remember at 3 years of age going to a birthday party for a little friend in the neighborhood. And the mother came in and put eggs in front of all of us and I wouldn't eat mine. And I remember, why did she have to do this? She said, "Boy, you don't like eggs? What's the matter with you, boy?" And everybody there was looking at me. I felt absolutely awful, but I didn't eat those eggs. You just don't have to win that battle. There are other ways to get nutrition down them. I wouldn't take a kid on that level.
Well, the fruit of that is simply war. You're right. And there are few hills worth dying on, what my mother used to say. Tim, choose your battles here for a moment. You know, the scary thing, Dr. Dobson, out of this, though, are those children can drift into more of a rebellious kind of nature at times, yeah, if it's not managed well. Or number two, they can begin to feel very alone and unloved, not understood. And I think one of the challenges that parents often have come to me with is, how do you connect with a child that you're not connecting with? How do you go into that space so they can feel loved by you? Because they have different interests. They have different likes. They're just different moods than I am as a parent. I know a lot of parents out there have that.
Let's go back to the beginning and talk about where these differences come from. When I was in graduate school, and my field was child development, and I was taught something at a very, very good school, University of Southern California Graduate School, but they had it wrong. They taught children are born as a blank slate. They come into the world with no real inclinations and certainly no instincts, which I agree with, but they are not individualized. They learn to be different from their environment. That is simply untrue. And when my daughter was about 3 years of age, and she was the inspiration for the strong-willed child, she's really tough, and she would react to things in ways that I said to myself, that didn't come from me. She's got a mind of her own. At 3 years of age, she already had a mind of her own. And then I began to investigate it and learn more about children. And I realized that every child is unique and different. Every mother of two or more children will tell you when they held that baby for the first time, he or she was different from the others that she has. They are made by God. And why wouldn't we know that if every grain of sand at the seashore is unique and every snowflake is unique? Why would we think God rubber stamps these complex little human beings? I've heard it said that the human brain is probably the most complex thing in the entire universe. We've certainly not found anything to compete with it. And these kids come in with all kinds of feelings and inclinations, and especially they want to take you on. Some of them do, and they're willing to go to the mat to do it. That's what I talked about in The Strong-Willed Child. In my book, Solid Answers, I wrote about this, and I've got a copy of that page here in front of me. And it deals with what the research shows about the personalities of newborns.
Yes.
I think this is magnificent research. It's not new. It's been around for a long time, but it is absolutely on target. The question that I ask is, what does the research show about the personalities of newborns? My answer, one of the most ambitious studies yet conducted, took a period of three decades to complete. That investigation is known in the professional literature as the New York Longitudinal Study. The findings from this investigation, led by psychiatrists Stella Chess and Alexander Thomas, were reported in their excellent book for parents, I don't think it's in print now, called Know Your Child. Mm-hmm. Chess and Thomas found, here's the findings of three decades of research, babies not only differ significantly from one another at the moment of birth, but those differences tend to be rather persistent throughout childhood. Even more interestingly, they observed three broad categories or patterns of temperaments into which the majority of children can be classified. First, they referred to the difficult child. That's mm-hmm. the one you suggested we talk about, who is characterized by negative reactions to people, intense mood swings, irregular sleep patterns and feeding schedules, frequent periods of crying, and violent tantrums when frustrated. Does this sound familiar? I described these individuals many years ago as the strong-willed children. The second pattern is called the easy child, who manifests a positive approach to people, quiet adaptability to new situations, regular sleep patterns and feeding schedules, and a willingness to accept the rules of the game. The authors concluded, quote, such a youngster is usually a joy to his parents, pediatrician, and teachers. Amen. My word for the easy child is compliant. Finally, the third category was given the title slow to warm up or shy child. You run into these kids?
Absolutely.
They are just different. They're different in many ways. These youngsters respond negatively to new situations, and they adapt slowly. However, they are less intense than difficult children, and they tend to have regular sleeping and feeding schedules. When they're upset or frustrated, they typically withdraw from the situation. They don't fight over it and react mildly rather than explode with anger and rebellion. No, every child does not fit into one of these categories, of course. We're too complex for that. But approximately 65% do. Doctors Chess and Thomas also emphasize that babies are fully human at birth, being able immediately to relate to their parents and learn from their environments. I doubt if that news is going to come as a surprise to most mothers who never believed the blank slate theory anyway. That was my reply.
You know, Dr. Dobson, that research is still strong. It's still taught because it's true. The nature-nurture debate is profound. Every parent listening right now knows you don't love your kids, for example, the same way. Why? Because they're different.
Yeah.
They love and receive and give love differently. At the same time, a tenderness back toward these children is what it's going to take if you want to connect and make sure they feel loved. See, part of the challenge here is how do I connect with a child that's different than me? What if I'm struggling and I just don't enjoy his or her presence, or I don't like their behavior and we can't get it under control? That's where some new research, doctor, has come into play, and it talks about relationship development. So you've got this kind of temperament perspective where these kids are hardwired, they're unique, and also the nurture side of being in relationship with, say, a mom who's exhausted, who doesn't have a lot to give, and the child begins to perceive that mom isn't necessarily accessible, or dad isn't accessible, or available, or willing to love me in these moments when I'm under high stress. Everybody looks pretty normal until we hit times of stress, even adults. Everyone tends to look very normal, but then you see their true relationship style when stress or duress comes into their life. So these children, bring them. Let's dial it back. You've got this temperament mix, and now you have this relationship style mix that's going on. And if I don't know how to do relationships well as an adult, say I had some brokenness in my own life, and I'm not connecting or bonding well, that's going to be felt into the life of my child.
Of course.
And you can see those patterns flow systemically. Families tend to reproduce themselves. We say it this way: you're just like your father. or you're just like your mother. Well, the truth is we often take on those principles too. And so it's quite a, if you will, cocktail of things coming together that now I've got to make sure, here's my goal. I just want my children to know I love them.
Now, here's one aspect of this that isn't often mentioned. This is tailor-made for conflict between siblings. You've got one of them who's goody-two-shoes, you know, and he never gets in trouble. He always does everything right. He wants to please. That's what's different about him. This youngster, the easy child, really needs your love and attention, and he plays by the rules. And he looks over here, and here is this tough-as-nails kid who is always getting yelled at. If the parent believes in spanking, he gets lots of them. And the strong-willed child resents goody-two-shoes like crazy because they think the parents love him more. And why is he always getting in trouble? He doesn't realize that it's his own approach to life that's getting him in trouble. And they grow up sometimes almost hating each other. Have you seen that?
Have you seen that? You know, and Dr. Dobson, what it does is it creates quite a challenge for families. You know, I was thinking just about fathering for a moment. Virtually every dad I've ever talked to, if you ask him, how are you doing as a father? You know what he'll say to you? If you're alone with him privately, he'll say, I think about it every day. And he worries about connecting with each child.
That will be our topic for next time.
Okay.
We're out of time, and I would love to discuss this with you. There's so much more here because we really need to offer some advice to parents about how you reach that tough kid, that hard-to-raise kid. What do you call him?
Extra-effort kid.
Everything he does seems to irritate you for a period of time. I just want to offer this word of advice. I said it a minute ago. Let me say it again. That kid that's causing you so much grief may be and probably will be your best friend when he gets older. It certainly happened in my family. Danae, who was so difficult, especially as a toddler and sometimes during the adolescent years, is the sweetest lady you're ever going to meet. And it just gives encouragement and hope to the mother who sits in a chair and says, I don't know if I can do this. Yes, you can. You will. You must. You will be rewarded for it many times over.
This is Dr. Tim Clinton jumping in. We're right in the middle of a conversation that we've been re-airing with the late Dr. James Dobson. He was one of my mentors and a champion for faith and for family. We're talking about what my colleague Dr. Gary Sipsey and I call our extra effort kids. This has been part one of a two-part series, and we'll be right back tomorrow with part two. But join us then for an insightful conclusion as Dr. Dobson shares more about his personal experiences with his own children. These timeless truths about our kids stand the test of time. On behalf of my son and co-host Dr. Zach Clinton and all of us here at Life, Love, Faith, and Family, thanks for making us a part of your day. God's richest blessings to you all.
Thanks for listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. If you enjoyed today's broadcast and want to help equip the church to provide Christian mental health care, visit aaccfoundation.org. Your donation ensures this program and your station stay on the air. On behalf of our co-hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, this is Jim Kress. We look forward to having you with us again next time. May God bless you.
This is Dr. Shawnee Anderson, and I'm a licensed clinical psychologist who's been in practice for over 30 years. In my clinical experience, one of the hardest parts for someone struggling with their mental health is the very first step, the just reaching out for help part. I understand that asking for help is hard, but finding that help shouldn't be. At Christian Care Connect, the mission is to make it easier to find a Christian clinician or coach who is compatible with you, someone you feel comfortable with, who shares your faith and values. Whether you're walking through grief, battling anxiety or depression, or facing any other of life's challenges, excellent mental health care providers are here to come alongside you with support that is both clinically excellent and distinctly Christian. If you or someone you know is looking for help and healing, we invite you to take that next step today. Go to ChristianCareConnect.com to find a provider within 100 miles of you. For further support or questions, you can email us at contact@ChristianCareConnect.com. A new way to start your journey to wellness and peace of mind.
Don't miss the 2026 AACC Faith and Flourishing Mega National Conference, with a special emphasis on neuroscience and brain health. Coming to the Lowe's Arlington Hotel in Arlington, Texas, in September 2026. Featuring world-leading and dynamic experts like Daniel Amen, George Barna, Jack Graham, Sungyung Tan, Sharon May, Kurt Thompson, Jennifer Ehlers, Shawnee Anderson, Zach Clinton, Tim Clinton, and more. Join counselors, psychologists, marriage and family therapists, pastors, ministry leaders, and coaches from around the world. Register now for the best savings at nationalaacc.com. That's nationalaacc.com. The 2026 AACC Faith and Flourishing Mega National Conference.